Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. State and federal wildfire managers have upped preparedness to level 2 as warm temperatures and widespread lightning continue to result in new starts across the interior. There were 30 new wildfires detected yesterday. Three of the new fires are being fought, including the 62-acre Chandelier River Fire, which threatens a cabin and native land allotments 22 miles northwest of Fort Yukon. Fire crews are also busy mopping up 7 other fires, mostly in the Fairbanks area, that started earlier this week. Thunderstorm activity in the interior is forecast to lessen this weekend as temperatures cool somewhat, but National Weather Service meteorologist Scott Berg says the more significant impact of a system dropping down from the North Pole will be along the eastern Arctic coast and Brooks Range.
Some heavy snow developing in the eastern Brooks Range, mainly east of the Dalton Highway, but at Attigan Pass, they could see 2 to 4 inches of snow.
Rain and a high around 65 are forecast for Fairbanks on Sunday. The search for a missing Fairbanks man is now focused on the Chena River. 26-year-old Jerry Atla has been missing since May 26th. His uncle, Peter Captain Jr., who is leading a search, says new information has redirected the effort.
These two couple that live near the river, the morning of the 27th, they found Jerry's sweater and his pill bottle with his name on it. And when they seen it on news, they put two and two together and they contacted the authorities. And that makes us believe that Jerry might be in the river. So we've turned our efforts into a search on the Chena River.
Captain says Atla was feeling depressed before he went missing and was taking medication for anxiety. Captain says the search is focused below the Mitchell Expressway Bridge. He says volunteers and boats are needed, as well as gas, food, water, and other supplies to support the effort, which is being based out of Kiwanis Park at the end of Chena Small Tracks Road. A resolution before the Fairbanks North Star Borough's Interior Gas Utility Board calls for a nationwide search for a chief executive. The IGU's current manager, Jomo Stewart, is stepping down as the public utility prepares to acquire and absorb Fairbanks Natural Gas and its parent company, Pentex. A transition plan calls for current Pentex FNG president Dan Britton to lead the IGU under a contract that expires in October 2019. At a Tuesday IGU meeting, board member and resolution sponsor Bill Butler described the national CEO search as a transparent process to find the right person to head up what will be a much larger utility.
No offense to Dan, he's run a small organization. In the end, this will be an organization that's up to $250 million. That's a whole different thing we're looking for. We're looking for a whole different level of leadership.
Butler emphasized the current Pentex FNG CEO Britton could apply for the job. The resolution is opposed by some other board members, including Steve Haginson, who discounted the potential of finding anyone better than Britton.
Don't think you're going to find somebody who's more qualified. It's not going to happen.
Haginson described the resolution as an aggressive move and, quote, not right. The IGU board delayed voting on the resolution until its next meeting mid-month. Safety standards were recently introduced for ships transiting marine waters off northwest Alaska. Alaska Public Media's Emily Russell reports.
Unlike other international waterways, the Bering Strait doesn't have safety measures in place. There are no designated shipping lanes or shallow areas to be avoided. That's in part because, on average, the Strait sees the same amount of traffic in one season that the English Channel sees in a day. Still, that hasn't stopped environmental organizations from lobbying for regulations in the region for years.
One accident in this region could lead to catastrophic results.
Elena Argakova is an Arctic shipping advisor for the World Wildlife Fund.
The amount of wildlife, the diversity of wildlife, the fact that there are local communities that subsist on the marine mammals, and the fact that some of them are starting to be oil and gas tankers that Russia is sending to Asian markets.
Plus the lack of emergency response infrastructure. Those things together make the region ripe for disaster. Agarkova says at first, Russia wouldn't agree on regulations for the Bering Strait, claiming the U.S. was trying to control vessel traffic. But now Russia is trying to capitalize on the shorter route to Asia, so Agarkova says they saw the value in making the seaway safer.
The fact that U.S. and Russia have managed to come to an agreement on these measures, despite broader political discord is really heartening.
That agreement is detailed out on a map of the Bering Strait. The map shows north and southbound lanes laid out on either side of the Diomede Islands. It also highlights St. Lawrence, Nunavak, and King Island as areas to be avoided. The International Maritime Organization regulates shipping worldwide and approved these standards. But like a lot of international law, they're voluntary. Tug Captain Sharm Sederquist says, actually, that doesn't matter that much.
It's like a car. If you have a bunch of DUIs, no one wants to insure you. If you're a shipping company that has a bunch of problems, no one wants to insure you. And that's why they have these standards, and that's why people are held to those standards.
Those standards go into effect in the Bering Strait on December 1st. In Anchorage, I'm Emily Russell.
And I'm Dan Bross.